Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Monkey tennis?
Yabba dabba doo. Sorry,
I did to myself. Monkey tennis?
This is mid-more mat.
Let's do slap hands. Idiotic broth.
Monkey tennis?
Please though!
Pop.
Monkey tennis?
You need to press transfer.
I like it. It's a clean kill.
Monkey tennis?
We will do that, definitely, yeah.
Okay, does Mummy know you do this? The time is 10:30.
What a dilbert.
Monkey tennis?
I know it won't smash, Lynn. Just wrap it in bubble wrap.
Hello, Manchester / Salford, depending on who you talk to. And welcome to Monkey Tennis Live, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined, as ever, by Tom Dark.
When I get home tonight, I'm going to throw away my kettle.
Nick Older.
Come to Scotland.
And Tom Stab.
It just goes to show that paedophiles can be heroes.
So, before we get into tonight's two episodes of Mid-Morning Matters, we looked at Google Trends to see which of these Manchester heroes stacked up against Alan Partridge. Which of these do you think is most popular nationwide?
Audience participation.
Nay, welcomed. So, Alan Partridge versus Morrissey. Who do we think was more popular, Google, over the last 12 months?
Shout out.
Partridge.
Oh, it's a mixed reaction in the room. Morrissey won by a landslide, I have to say.
Disappointing.
Genuine. Well, yeah. I guess he's had a lot of bad press recently, so it could be yeah.
Next up is dance pioneer Bez. Bez or Alan Partridge?
So, make noise for Bez. Make noise for Alan.
I have to say, Bez wins. Although Alan did break through for a week very briefly. Presumably Bez was on holiday. Finally, your local hero, Mick Hucknall. Mick or Alan? Make some noise for Mick.
Wow.
Mick.
That is fucking cold.
Old champion Mick.
Come on, Mick. I'm voting Mick.
And Alan? I have to say it wasn't Alan landslide.
Oh. Yeah. A lot of people not voting at all there as well. It's quite interesting tonight.
So on to the two episodes we're tackling tonight. Tom Dark, tell us a little more about them.
So we're starting this evening's proceedings with Mid-Morning Matters Series 2, Episode 3, Blackbird and Gangster. This first broadcast on the 1st of March 2016 and achieved a viewing figures peak of 92,000.
We were in Bristol last night. That is low by comparison.
The episode before this was 145,000.
What's the percentage drop?
I think can we assume more people are out rambling and in beer gardens?
Yes. Yeah. Also, I'm surprised because, you know, we've discussed these episodes and we've agreed that they were really strong, so I'm surprised that it's dropped.
But I think it's the Sky Atlantic issue.
Okay.
He's taken the 100k from Sky, but people haven't followed.
No.
Yeah, basically.
It starts as ever with the webcam format, obviously. So it begins with the North Norfolk Digital website.
What a website.
It does. We noticed that basically when you have Alan's page on the website at the intro, it does direct to alan@northnorfolkdigital.com. Now, we know that email address doesn't work. But if you go to the domain, northnorfolkdigital.com, it automatically diverts you to northnorfolkradio.com. So if we'll get the slide behind
us. And that's a real thing.
That is a real radio station. So basically what you've got, you basically have the... Jed, if you can just move the slide.
There we go.
Help us out, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Jed. So that's the website of North Norfolk Radio, which is a bit of a mouthful. You've got basically the same layout as the fictional North Norfolk Digital website as well. But what I enjoyed most about this is if you look at the presenter that does Alan's slot on the real radio show, we've got Kevin Ford, and there is a Q&A with Kevin on the website, and he is basically a real-life Alan. Amazing. It's worth going through the Q&A.
I learned a lot from this.
Let's do a deep dive. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Kevin Ford. He's got the Mid-Morning Matters slot on North Norfolk Radio. The Q&A, a few things you need to know about Kevin. Favourite album, Dire Straits, Love Over Gold. Best gig you've ever been to, Howard Jones, tiny venue with some great musicians, just a happy evening. Favourite thing in the Anglian area, everywhere. We've got sea, forests and beautiful buildings. Pets... My keyboards are my pets.
What does that mean?
There's no more information given, so I don't know.
I mean, they both have a lead. That's where the similarity ends, keyboards and pets, surely.
Yeah, I mean, go with that.
Yeah, it's battle, you like.
Just a couple more. Favourite holiday destination, Italy. Discovered it late in life. Just great to drive around. Very Alan there. Random fact about me, my great uncle is a famous actor.
Fails to specify who. Presumably Harrison, if his surname's Ford. I'm reaching.
Is he having a joke with us?
I don't think it's that smart.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Favourite movie, The Italian Job, brackets, the original one. And the last question, you're stuck on a desert island. What is the one item you'd want to be shipwrecked with? The answer, a wind-up radio, or if there is Wi-Fi and 240 volts to hand, my iPad.
Oh, there is.
So, real-life Alan, Kevin Ford there.
Also, is that North Norfolk Radio capitalising on Partridge by buying the domain for North Norfolk Digital?
Oh, I think they know exactly what they're doing, yes.
That's 100%. Sly, very sly.
Just one more thing on that website. When I was doing this research, the headline news story on the website on that day was camera stolen whilst being used in Norwich. So a big news
more
day
more news as it breaks.
Wow. This is on the 21st of August. A photographer had their camera stolen whilst taking photos of a church in Norwich last Wednesday. So they're also reporting that news story a week after.
Where's the justice?
Anyway, that's North Norfolk Radio. Up to date.
Alan begins by he's just coming out of playing Meatloaf Classic, I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. Is he not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you not do for love?
What would you not do for love?
There are some wonderful quickfire callers.
What have we got?
We've got Sandra in Beccles, Shave My Dad's Back. Barry in Kering, Give Kidney.
Yeah, not grammatically correct.
No,
yeah.
Leonard in Taverham, put her on the car insurance.
A lot of you saying that.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that.
Tara in Westwick using an adult voice to say, share my sweeties. Bit weird. Yep. And Beth in Peston, renounce Christ. which obviously brings us to the first question of the group of the night. What would you not do for love?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
I think, the thing that immediately came to mind was not sharing food.
I was going to say I wouldn't shave Adam's back. I'm not in love with Adam, but just to be clear, I wouldn't shave your back, Adam.
I'm not asking.
No, I was just saying
If it came to it,
I'm answering the question, I wouldn't shave your back.
Okay.
That's fair.
Tom?
We discussed these earlier, and actually, Adam, I'm going to steal yours. eat eggs, I hate them.
Five eggs in a row is my limit. I would do four for love, but five for no one.
You won't do that.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
At first, I was amazed they could get through. They could get enough callers to rattle through them. But then I suppose when you listen to the answers to Alan's phone-ins, you can tell they are putting literally everyone on air that calls, aren't they? There's no screening.
There's no screening
whatsoever.
Yeah,
no. And a lot of thought's gone into this one because it's actually for a prize, which is a meatloaf a week for a year, provided by Bannons the Butchers, who have sponsored Alan's show in the past.
We've heard from Bannons before, haven't we?
Yes. So Alan was recording voiceovers for them at the time of Alpha Papa.
Yeah, yesterday's meet at today's prices.
Yeah. I like that there's sort of the writers have created a kind of a list of local traders that Alan always comes back to.
Yeah, in the part traverse. Yeah, as exactly. We, sometimes call it. Yeah.
Alan then changes during a jingle, giving his sweaty nips a wipe with a wet wipe, which Simon has to hold, which I thought was reminiscent of the poor nameless man in Series 1 who has to hold a bowl for Alan to spit into after cleaning his teeth.
Yeah. Doesn't Simon give him his mug? Or is that when he gets the massage?
That's when he gets the
jumping
massage.
Jumping ahead.
The jingle itself needs some analysis. It's made up of supposedly genuine people claiming to love Alan's show, but there's a Jamaican at the end who is clearly Alan putting on an accent.
Yeah, it's one of the... I think there are a few instances throughout the series when you've got... Alan's clearly makes his own jingles. He doesn't seem to have any other production team support.
Yeah.
And he tries to get in every conceivable demographic. So you go from, like, this awful cod Jamaican accent to basically a dog barking and a child say, even Chet loves it.
He apologises to Psychic Simon for the speed wash. Puts it down to this morning's workout. Simon probes into that, assuming he means regular
exercise. You know where
this is
going, and it's not good.
It's lovemaking with Angela. I thought it's nice consistency that he's still calling it lovemaking, because of course he used to be back in the Sonia days as well.
He says she is strong and she has stamina.
Yeah, there's a third attribute.
Well, isn't it described as neither a Vogue model nor a catalogue model? Like, just no respect.
You ever kissed a woman with a rough tongue?
That's the third attribute. She's got a rough tongue.
But that, I mean, whenever I think of a rough tongue, I think of a cat. I mean, is Alan...
Have you ever kissed a cat?
Oh, no, I haven't kissed a cat. Has Alan kissed a cat?
I doubt it.
And if he hasn't, how does a human get a rough tongue?
Is it because they've had a very long and vigorous lovemaking session? I'm not sure I really want the answer to that.
Does that mean you have a rough tongue?
Can we stop the deep dive on it,
please? Please stop saying rough tongue.
shall we go to outfit watch instead, perhaps?
Yes, please. Yes,
nicer subject. So, Psychic Simon, as we can see here, has the... he's got, I believe it says, for cod's sake, eat haddock on his T-shirt. So I looked into this. That T-shirt is made by a company called Plain Lazy. Now, as we've kind of observed before, Simon has kind of a wacky student dress style. So I would assume that all his T-shirts probably come from the same website. Something like, if you look on the Plain Lazy website, they've all kind of got these wacky slogans.
I didn't realise it was made by Plain Lazy. I have worn those T-shirts when I was a student.
This is awkward.
Yeah, that was about 16 years ago, though.
Oh, so it's fine.
Yeah, although I don't know how old Tim Key / Simon is or is meant to be, but either way, it's...
I mean, I would pitch him as late 20s, early 30s. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, a little bit older, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think with Alan's outfit, you've got another kind of awful colour polo shirt, really. That's pretty standard. And quite a prominent white jacket.
More about the white jacket later.
Yes.
He also says that he's sweating like a bandit, to which Simon says, the good, the bad and the ugly, to which Alan says, it's a good description of what went on, because there were three distinct phases.
So they've gone back to the vigorous lovemaking, even though we tried to get away from it.
He then goes on to say that Angela was pissed, and I thought, is that the first of the three phrases? And if that's the good, what's the bad and the ugly?
I don't know if it bears thinking about.
No. But we're on to today's guest at this point, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Blackbird Goodbrook.
Or BBGB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Played by Julian Barrett.
Yes. Yeah.
From The Mighty Boosh and many other comedy bits of gold.
I think he's also... I think he's been a caller in Mid-Morning Matters episodes previously as well. Yeah. I think in Series 1.
So his first song is posing the question, what would life be without cars, trees, the ocean and bees?
Is it at this point where we're going to do your deep dive in terms of some analysis about what the world would actually be like?
What I would say is, bear with me on this, I've got some internet mentalism to go through, basically. What else would we do when we're doing our research apart from just Google the answer to these questions? And you'll also see when you get the autocomplete Google search for this. These are the questions that people are normally asking. So lots of law, music, friction. Technology, communication, computers.
Internet.
Not the internet. So it's all quite tech-based. But obviously Blackbird is more concerned about the planet as a whole. So, what would life be without cars? The top result I got from this was on a message board called, I think, Quora, which is a question and answer site. Yeah. My two favourite answers here. Answer number one. Without cars, there would be many things that would not happen. First, most of the business locations, brackets, restaurants, shopping malls, etc., and tourist landmarks wouldn't thrive as we will have to walk for a longer duration of time.
That's just stating the obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it would just take longer. Second, despite having the problems mentioned above, there will be no pollution as most of the cars we have these days emit CO2. Third, we will just sit at home and basically do nothing. Fourth, motorsports would have not existed. Fifth, automobile engineering would not even be a topic of interest. I mean, factually, that is correct.
That's basically like someone saying, my main concern about a life without cars is the future of What Car magazine.
Yeah, basically. And the other response I like, I believe this is what happened. This is what would happen, easy for me to say. Life with travelling and enjoying public transport. So you have to enjoy public transport in this instance. Life in which rising petrol prices won't bother you. Life in which you would love your bike. Life with the beauty of travelling in night with bike.
In night?
Yep. Would be life in which helmet is an important thing. Life in which there is no toll tax.
Did Sonia write this?
Point 10, tax rubbish. Life in which traffic jam won't bother you much. I'd be assuming there won't be any traffic jams.
It's one or the other, surely.
Life which lacks music while travelling.
I think what we're learning from this is it's not in-depth analysis. It's really the ramblings of an internet loon.
Is it Elon Musk?
Yeah. And the last point, life in which you have less issues for parking place. Again, I would assume there would be no issues because there are no cars.
Yeah.
Should we talk about life without trees quickly?
Very quickly.
Do be quick.
Basically, without trees, humans would not be able to survive because the air would be unsuitable for breathing. That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Life without oceans. Oceans are thought to be the key to Earth-like life. Not just water, but oceans. Large bodies of water, such as oceans, ensure the temperature of the planet remains relatively stable. Obviously, these are from scientific websites now. These aren't from mental message boards. And the theory is that without watery expanses the size of oceans, weather events and hot-cold extremes would be too much for delicate organisms such as humans to handle. Those findings are from the researchers of the University of East Anglia. So I thought that was a nice Alan link. And life without bees, basically, plants and crops would die and we'd all starve.
I think we all know that bees are essentially very important.
Blackbird is focusing on the important items.
He really is. Although I didn't
understand if this is an environmental anthem about trees, the ocean and bees. Why did he start with cars? He's trying to save cars but also trees. It's a very confused message. Yeah. I thought
some things are worse and some things are better.
Sure, so, that's true. But yeah. I also thought he's got a very thin scarf and a tiny hat. He's a bellend, isn't he?
I think we can all agree on that, can't we?
I like him.
Okay, you're a fan of Blackbird.
Yeah.
Can I remind you that later in this episode he basically writes a tribute song to a sex offender?
still holding on to
a Blackbird fan status then.
I think the case was dropped.
To be fair, Alan does describe him as a legendary folk singer. Blackbird claims that Blackbird is a nickname. I thought, let me stop you there. Blackbird is not a nickname. Firstly, you've given that to yourself. Secondly, nicknames are supposed to be sort of slightly fun poking.
Yeah, and doesn't he also say his other name was Blackie?
Oh, yeah, people call him Blackie or BB.
BB or BBG.
Which reminded me of a time when I was living in Southampton. My friend Jay was trying to find my flat when we were having a barbecue and was walking up and down the street shouting out, "Where are you, Darkie?"
Oh.
Not appropriate, Jay. You really shouldn't have done that in public.
To clarify,
my surname is Dark. That's why that happened.
It's important to state. Alan, this brings Alan on to his nicknames vis-a-vis lovemaking with Angela. Sorry to bring it back to that so quickly.
No.
I call her Little Sparrow. She calls me Big Bird. At this point, I thought, that's actually quite sweet.
But then he goes on to add,
I waddle in and then fall on. But I mean, she's fine. She's part of it.
Yeah.
Part of it?
Consensual. It's fine.
Yeah. Awful. He then says something which I don't have the exact statement, but it implies that he's not yet in love with Angela, but hopes to achieve it by having more sex.
There is very much a tiered system.
Yeah. He's possibly the same with Sonia as well. He was bonking her like mad, wasn't he? Maybe he was trying to convince himself that he wanted to love her as well.
Not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I feel like his affections for Angela are somewhat more genuine than they were for Sonia.
You think?
I think Sonia was he was kind of, I wouldn't say using, but. I think he likes Angela more than he likes Sonia.
Sonia made him feel good, but it wasn't like a mutually beneficial relationship, was it? Are we taking this too seriously?
Maybe. Also in this section, Alan does refer to having a bath once a week with a cap full of Dettol. So I wonder what came first here, the Dettol sponsorship for Alan's deep bath or his use and love of Dettol? I wonder which way around that happened.
He regularly references his use of and
yeah, but that could be. He got the Dettol sponsorship. He got a crate of Dettol delivered to his house and just started using it.
I reckon he's the Dettol. It's the Dettol use first. He mentions it on.
He is a hygiene freak. We do know.
A case arrives.
Yep.
Yes, he also says that weekly bath is non-negotiable. I mean, who's trying to talk him out of it? I don't know.
No, it's fine.
Alan then claims that we need to be careful that we're not usurped by apes, a theory he got from watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes the previous night.
the documentary.
Mm. And there's lots of examples of this where he's literally seen something on telly and then the next day it's a phone-in on his show and a theory that he absolutely stands behind.
Yeah, he's basically very easily led by whatever he's seen on television the night before. A bit like Donald Trump, actually.
He then compliments Blackbird by saying, I think your music's that good that it could be used on an advert.
That's kind of what he sees as like the high watermark of achievement.
That's the benchmark, isn't it?
Yeah. The commercial gains that you can get from being on a car advert, for example.
And he says that he saw Blackbird performing at the Boxy Wheat Sheaf, didn't he? Which has become quite a commonly referenced pub in this series. And this is also, it's a reference in Mid-Morning Matters Series 1 and the shortlist article, Norfolk, a Cultural Hotbed, where the Boxy Wheat Sheaf was identified as a pop landmark and the place to go for folk music. So again, just building the park traverse around it.
Is this where Alan attempts a, or Alan and Simon attempt a Scottish accent?
Yeah, but I think Simon starts in a kind of, you know, respectful way of trying to emulate a Scottish accent, and then Alan sees an opportunity to usurp or better him, but it comes out in a much more offensive kind of way.
Would you like to give a brief example
of
each of their attempts?
I feel like I did that earlier.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to overdo it.
I'm keen
to hear it again. You've been doing it all day.
That's practice.
Okay. And actually, things like that, is that just an excuse for Coogan to show off his mimicking skills?
Although it's not a very good Scottish accent.
It's not a good accent.
He's taking the mic.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think, it's Alan being disrespectful of other, say, cultures. But
so Alan was being disrespectful, but you did choose that quote to open the show with.
Well, it's still funny.
No, just clear me up.
Should we talk a little bit about Alan's jacket?
I think it's time, yeah.
He bought an Italian jacket in Capri. He says, guess how much it cost? 60 quid? No, £1,000 in 1980. I looked up white leather Italian men's jackets. not for this, just for my own midlife crisis. It turns out they retail for around £900 to £1,500, but that's in present day. So Alan still got ripped off if he paid that in the 80s. I did wonder, though, was Alan flush enough to pay that for a jacket, or is the implication that it's secondhand? I think it must be secondhand.
Maybe.
He's just not got that kind of money. Yeah.
In the 90s, he might have. Was he on the BBC then?
This is in the
80s.
This is pre-day-to-day.
Secondhand, or he's lying.
Good point.
do we move then on to the discussion about folk being seen as old-fashioned with no synths and no samplers? Alan gets very confused about the difference between Judas and Barabbas.
Yes, so that's talking of Dylan going electric and the infamous Judas shout, isn't it? But he goes with Barabbas. They're both Easter baddies, according to Alan.
Yeah, that's how he got confused. There's a really nice tussle here between Alan and Blackbird, where Alan's basically indulging Blackbird as a guest, obviously saw him live and was impressed enough to get him on the show, but now what he's getting is less of Blackbird's music and more of Blackbird's opinions, which Alan is staunchly against.
Not as bothered by. Keen to hear the music. I'm not as interested in your opinions. Someone else, it's my opinions I'm interested in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like hearing one of those guys with an acoustic guitar at a party playing their own songs, but then also having to listen to them talk about how we all be better off with a barter system, or them trying to sell you a hemp bracelet, or get off with your good looking friend.
All things that happened to you recently in Bristol.
I was going to say, this sounds like something that might happen in Bristol.
Yeah. And when Alan cuts him off performing this song, because he has to go to the traffic, and he says that song is very moving, unlike the traffic on the A47, which I thought was great.
Blackbird also says, I make my music for local people, not stadiums. I leave that to One Direction. Oh, you leave it, do you, Blackbird? The option's available to you, is it?
See, again, I'm going with Bell End. Sticking to that. Yeah.
Absolutely. This then leads Alan into a fairly descriptive section about trapping One Direction in a collapsed tunnel, which has aged badly for two reasons. One, One Direction have split up since this was filmed, and two, recent news events in Thailand. So let's leave that one there. Simon says, they make the monkey sound like the Beatles. Alan says, they make actual monkey sound like the Beatles. Blackbird, who we know has an absolute sense of humour vacuum, says they make actual monkeys sound like actual Beatles, which is nonsense.
Again, Bell End. Just
pretty
going with that.
Yep. A quick two-part game here. Which is the most popular by Google search over the past 12 years? Monkeys, spelled like the band, Beatles, spelled like the band, or One Direction, same spelling either way?
Oh, 1D.
It's 1D.
One Direction.
Is the crowd saying One Direction over the Beatles?
Yeah, surely.
With a heavy heart. well, you'll be pleased to hear, actually, the Beatles win by miles. It's One Direction, then the monkeys at the bottom of a cliff. Beatles band spelling also beats Beatles animal spelling. Just throwing that in as a bonus fact for free. In fact, in all of those terms, there are only 6 days in the last year where Beatles were knocked off the top spot by monkeys. A better part of the podcast would have a joke based on it.
We've got nothing, however. Yeah.
We really should rehearse this.
Yeah. Blackbird's playing another song, The Thresher's Farewell. But first we have some spoken word to endure. Yeah.
Sure.
Alan lets Blackbird go on for two lines and then interrupts him for traffic and travel.
Yep.
My small amount of radio experience tells me you can normally knock traffic and travel on a bit if you're running late, but smaller stations will use synchronised traffic and travel, which happens on the dot whether you throw to it or not.
Yes.
In this case, Alan's doing it himself, so he could have waited. But it's
a running theme throughout the series that he will always interrupt people for traffic and travel.
Yep. Very important.
Sponsored by Castrol.
Adding insult to injury, he also summarises this song, so clearly has no intention of letting Blackbird finish it. In Alan's words, basically, grumpy town, kid goes missing, town pulls together, kid never found, but when wind blows, sounds like kid singing. Which inspired me to put together a short game called Song Summaries. These are popular songs summarised in 20 words or less. I'll throw it out to my esteemed colleagues, but also anyone in the audience. Number one, I urge you not to help my husband cheat, and I cannot stress your name enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Very good.
Number two, not quite singing, not quite rapping in the verse. The chorus is all about 7 days, but it's not Craig David.
Oh.
Can you run that past us one more time?
Not quite singing, not quite rapping in the verse. The chorus is all about 7 days, but it's not Craig David.
Don't know.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
okay. Sort of roll over here.
Yeah. 1 week bare naked lady. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Tom, swap places.
Do you want to?
Yeah. Number three or four. Reading this clue out in the style of the song will naturally lead you to the title.
Shout?
No.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Loud
talking.
I'm not mockney enough. Reading this clue out in the style of the song will naturally lead you. Yes, you go. There you go. And finally, today I shall be heartily refuting allegations of infidelity, ably assisted by my Jamaican friend.
Wasn't me.
Yes. Thank you very much. That concludes the end of that.
That's pretty good.
We never do very well on these,
no,
do we?
No, we don't.
We had a similar thing last night and the audience got the ball right.
The audience is more intelligent than we are. Yep. We know that, we respect that, and we're fine with
it. We know our place, yeah. It's fine.
We talked a bit about how long the Dettol relationship's gone, but Castrol obviously sponsored the traffic and travel. Do we think that's been going back as long as Alan getting his GTX jacket for Tony Hairs?
I almost wouldn't be surprised if they're not sponsoring it. He's just calling it out. They haven't been giving any money for years.
Just speculative in the hope of some free
oil. Some free bomber jackets.
Quite good, yeah, like that.
So he's coming out of the next song. That was Beyonce. Says mum, Tina Turner.
I think, does he just guess this? Like, do you think he just guesses?
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah, he read it on the back of something.
Think,
yeah.
It's quite interesting actually, because some of the song back announcements he's deliberately making a joke.
Yeah.
It's often a shit joke, and some of the back announcements he just hasn't fact checked. So there's a bit of a mix across the series of what's going on, but they're always some of the strongest lines of the episodes, I think.
Yeah.
We've got some more phone-ins on what people wouldn't do for love. We've got Derek, the car boot sale this Saturday, brackets, and that's the end of it.
Yep.
And Patricia, which is Miss Church / Watch Blue Movie.
And in the voiceover for Bannon's this time round, it's the housewife's choice for bulk buying meat. And also with this, I noticed, so is it Alan putting on a Yorkshire accent or is it supposed to be somebody else with a Yorkshire accent? I'm never quite clear whether it's supposed to be different people or it's the fact that Alan doesn't have any production.
I think it's the latter.
We've seen him recording his own jingles. So I think it must be him. There's an absolutely pointless exercise from Blackbird here where he starts playing guitar and says, Alan, name me a hero, Superman. Yeah. No, another one. George Osborne. No, He-Man. And then Blackbird just goes, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Simon's I'm interested face is so good across this series. He's sort of waiting for an opportunity to joke. He looks like genuinely moved. I think Tim Key is a valuable addition.
I mean, I think we've kind of already agreed that Tim Key's face is the MVP of this entire series.
Alan falls asleep before the intro is even done to this song, which is called Raindrops and Rainbows. I look for the real Raindrops and Rainbows. There's four songs on Spotify with this name. The closest match is Stephen C from the album Past and Present, where the song is played by piano. Other albums featuring Raindrops and Rainbows, Soft Piano for Background, A Spiritual Journey on Piano, and Drift Away, where the piano has been swapped for panpipes.
Wow, this all sounds shit.
And which was the best of those four?
It is very much...
None of them.
None of them.
They're all equally terrible. Coming to the end of the song now, Alan's got headphones on, looks a bit more awake. Well, I say more awake, he's not asleep, so that's a start. And isn't there a lyric in the song where he says, Jeff saved them all from heaven, March 19th, 1997, which is one of the worst lyrics of all time. Alan's written Spellbinding down as a description of this song, but he's also written it in Mammoth Child's Bubble Writing for some reason, which is a bit odd. The song was about Jeff Tannery, who Blackbird claimed as a hero.
Yes, but then Alan reveals that he was accused of keeping images of children.
Accused. I think it's important to stress that he was accused of keeping inappropriate images.
Mudsticks.
As Alan says, Mudsticks. Really shouldn't have mentioned his name. At least I didn't mention his address. Simon says, you did. Alan says, I did. He lived at the old rectory. I've done it again.
just using something like the phrase, you've done it again, is like, it's a nice little callback linking to I'm Alan Partridge as well. I thought it was quite good. I did make a note. So in 1997, he said, when terrorists were Irish. He's kind of obsessed with Irish terrorists, isn't he?
This is also around the section where he says, it just goes to show you paedophiles can be heroes. So, he's gone off a moral cliff at this point in the show.
Yeah, but question to the group then. Can paedophiles... No, I'm not really going to go there.
Things starting to get very confusing. Simon set the bar saying, if you're going... Oh, yeah, Alan reads out the address a third time. Simon sets the bar saying, if you're going to go over there, go easy on him because he did save all those Cub Scouts. Blackbird saves the show, I think, at this point. It goes back to a sort of nice, safe opinion. Says, it's hard to find a quiet moment in the modern world because of all the distractions.
Yep. So it's at this point that we get his What Would Life Be song again, at the request of Alan.
Before we get into that song, you've got the fact where Alan's coming around to this whole idea about basically technology being bad, so Alan's take on that is he's going to throw away his kettle. He hasn't quite got it right, has he?
No.
Just a couple of notes on this scene as well. There are quite a few times when Alan's looking awkwardly into the webcam,
which happens a few times. Yeah.
And just on prop watch, I did notice there is a Norwich map to his right on the studio, just a minor detail that doesn't get referenced or anything.
What, there's just a map on the...
Like a folded OS map of Norwich. I guess he likes
good
rambling.
To know.
Yeah, he likes his walks.
Blackbird wants to play Boomtown, but Alan is insistent that it's the song about bees. He's not bothered to learn the name of the song, is he? So do we need to talk about what life would be without iPads, cows, Tesco and beer as we go on to talk?
Do we need to go through it in the form of song?
I don't think we need to sing it. I think we can briefly agree whether iPads, cows, Tesco, beer, food, tax, Gore-Tex.
Let's work our way through
it. Okay, well, let's work our way through it, and let's also... crowd participation is allowed for this section.
Of course.
So you can go with better or worse, or possibly, and you'll know when this comes up, it's complicated. Okay, so what would life be without iPads?
Better.
What would life be without cows?
Worse.
What would life be without Tesco's?
Better.
Not sure.
What would life be without beer? Worse. That's the only one they all agree on.
What would life be without food?
Worse.
What would life be without tax?
Better.
What? It's complicated.
It's complicated.
What would life be without Gore-Tex?
Worse.
Very specific.
What would life be without immigration?
It's complicated.
What would life be without Marmite?
Worse.
It's complicated.
Neutral,
that's the other option. Yeah.
So this is the point where Blackbird's had enough of Simon tapping on his guitar as well. He's been doing that all the way through the show, and Blackbird, who seems like something of a pacifist, he's a very laid-back man, has had enough, loses his patience at that point.
A laid-back bellend.
Yes, exactly, in summary. When we come back, it's Gangster Day, isn't it?
Julius?
Unless if anyone's got anything more on Blackbird, then
I haven't got anything on Blackbird. My next note is how hot should you have your bath?
Oh, that's true. That is a phone-in.
Yeah, but we're not there yet. We will get there.
Have I jumped ahead?
You have jumped ahead.
Okay, fine.
So, yes, we're on to part two of this episode. It's Gangster. So, as Adam rightly says, it's Gangster Day at North Norfolk Digital.
And this bit opens with Alan saying, that was to Powell, which is Yorkshire for the Powell.
And also, we learned that the previous day's phone-in was how to best dispose of a body.
the options people were given were concrete boots, minced and fed to pigs, dropped into the foundations of a new build, or minced and fed to dogs.
It's the same as pigs.
Presumably the same caller.
Yeah. I'll just chip in with some outfit watch here. So Alan, he's got a very large oversized denim jacket with brown leather patches and a powder blue polo neck. Simon's actually quite normal in this part. Not too wacky. Black cardigan, T-shirt, check shirt. Actually, probably the most sensible outfit we see Simon in.
Quite restrained for him.
What has he got on, though? That's three layers on.
I'm just warm looking at him, to be honest. Yeah. Three layers in a radio studio. You don't need it, do you?
You don't need it.
We got onto some Cockney accents and talk of diamond geezers as well.
Mm-hmm. Have we skipped over how hot should you have your bath, though?
No, we're not there yet.
We actually are.
I've got written down.
Yeah, we are.
Your notes are quite sparse in that case because we're not there yet.
Fine. Let me know when you want me to join in with how hot.
It's in three scenes time.
Okay, fine.
So you can just be quiet for
a bit. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Alan says, I love diamond geezers, which I thought was weird because he was having a real rant about Stan the Stabber Man from Dagenham, writing gangster books, outselling Bouncing Back.
Yeah.
Bad slags with permatans, is that right?
Yeah.
And he's scared of the gangstering, though, me knowing you as well. I want to get sucked in.
Yeah. I want to get sucked in.
Exactly. So Simon says, they break the law and you don't mind. Alan prefers them to benefit cheats because they only attack their own nonces or grasses. A rare occasion here where Simon over-explains the joke, not Alan, because Alan then says, coming up is a diamond geezer who wouldn't dream of pulling your fingernails off with a pair of pliers. It's Neil. And then Simon says, diamond. And Alan says, yes, they know.
At this point, the guest for this section, Julius Skenner, is brought in. Alan introduces him as former gangster, hoodlum, baddie and ne'er-do-well. When Julius enters the studio, he just goes for a normal handshake, which Alan's a bit disappointed by that. He was expecting something extra. So he basically thinks he's going to get some kind of street gang handshake, doesn't he?
I mean, even if he did, he's not going to get it right first time, is he?
No, definitely
talking
not.
About.
Basically, Julius has set up a community centre, so he's turned his life around from being a ne'er-do-well. I also noted that Alan, when he starts talking to Julius says ting at some point. So later on, Alan also says ting.
He's assimilated that straight away.
Exactly, yeah.
Did anyone have a note of the dances that Alan claims to enjoy doing?
I've been listening. I mean, we know Nick doesn't.
Well, next note is how hot should you have your bath?
We're nearly there.
I don't understand how I've done this, because I've got disco, rumba, zumba, conga, rock and roll. But
that's the list we're waiting for.
My bath bit's way up the top. I don't know what's happened.
Here's what's happened. Phone-ins come back throughout the episode. He mentions it earlier, and he's going to come back to it later.
Fine.
Alan then starts to misuse ting horrendously. It's not the same ting if you're at the bathroom where people just push past you with wet hands. Can anyone remember Alan's three-stage philosophy of dance?
Yes, it's pretty simple. Kick off your shoes, big gulp of juice, and see what happens.
That's right. That's a great philosophy.
Simon and Alan nearly come to blows over dance. Simon does the robot described by Alan as the dancing chicken. And then Alan does some dancing and says he's pretty pleased with the results. Simon, meanwhile, calls it more of a collection of spasms.
Is it time for some Phil Collins chat?
Yes.
So basically, Alan reckons that Phil Collins was a hothead, and that's why he started drumming, to basically deal with his aggression issues. Although, obviously, sadly, Phil Collins can no longer play the drums due to physical ailments. So should we assume that he's now a very angry old man?
He was pretty angry before, wasn't he?
Well, exactly.
I also did a little bit of research, because he says, obviously, like you say, Phil Collins got into drumming because he's a real hothead, but then a lot of bold people are. So I looked into this.
Calm down, Adam.
Are bold people more likely to be aggressive? The Washington Post says yes. The Daily Mail says they're more likely to be socially mature, intelligent, educated and honest. But let's be honest, that's just the Daily Mail playing to their base. In the end, there were so many conflicting views about whether bold people were more likely to be aggressive, I got really fucked off and punched my laptop.
Brilliant.
Alan then brings it back to Phil Collins selling his no jacket required jacket on tour as an example of getting kids to use their brains.
Yeah, so actually we have seen him wear this jacket in I'm Alan Partridge Series 2, which is on the screen behind us now. I thought it was time for a quick question to the group. What is your favourite Phil Collins song, and I will accept Genesis? Nick, I'm going to go to you as the expert here. We'll start with you.
I couldn't narrow it down. There's so many.
Top three?
You have to say the best of Phil Collins.
Sussudio, yep. Domino, and
Remember, dead air is a crime.
I can't.
We'll
dance.
Never get to the hot bath at this rate.
Okay, thanks for that, Tom.
No. Driving the long spike.
Yeah, great choice. That'd be my second choice. My top choice, I'll go for Jesus He Knows Me.
So basically, all off that I Can't Dance.
Oh, yeah,
album.
I mean, that's
brilliant album.
The best of Genesis. Adam, anything to add?
It's Against All Odds or I Can't Dance. Let's move on.
Right, cool. A couple of other notes about how Alan interacts with Julius in this scene. You have the, when he comes to him and says, let's do slap hands.
Yeah, that's a high five.
Yeah, so he makes him do a high five, then a low five. Also, I did note that as he fades the music up in this scene, he's just staring intently at Julius with a manic smile on his face. It's quite entertaining.
There's one of those lovely brief scenes you get in Mid-Morning Matters where something's happening off air. Alan basically mimes pulling a gun for an imaginary attacker. I guess he's imagining overpowering some kind of gang member inspired by the guest.
Some kind of altercation with a gangster, yeah.
And this then is a situation that would never happen as well.
Exactly.
Surely.
Although what I do like, we've actually seen quite a lot of imaginary gunplay from Alan before. So with Michael in the hotel.
At the start of Know Me, Knowing You?
Every time there's some kind of different imaginary assailant in that.
Both barrels, you hit the wall.
Yeah, axing out Bond, and also when he was giving self-defence tips in the previous episode as well. Mm-hmm.
And getting the air rifle to assassinate squirrels with Angela's kids who are from a broken home.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. He comes back with a large question, which is, Nick...
Oh, and also, I've got I know what's happened now. I've got this note here, and I've got it at the beginning. I don't know why I've got it at the beginning, but that's basically...
So it's a copy and paste error.
Yeah,
user error.
I need to own that.
Okay, so Nick, what is the question that we've all been waiting for?
How hot should you have your bath?
Dunno.
Oh. Adam? Give me something, mate.
I would say it needs to be hot to the point that it's almost uncomfortable to get in, because then as it cools,
yeah, I would agree.
Extra bath time.
I would agree.
I think Adam's got it bang on.
Yeah, I would also say for me, I probably bath annually, although that doesn't mean I don't shower. I do shower daily, but I'd probably have a bath about once a year. That tends to be timed around the time that I would get a cold, because I sometimes find if I get a cold, sometimes a bath will help.
Why do you limit yourself to one bath a year?
Well, I don't limit myself. It's just because generally I get ill about once a year.
And is that bath non-negotiable?
Yes, absolutely not. It's
and do you put a cap of Dettol in there as well?
No, just some, you know.
I think maybe you should try the Dettol. That might keep the illness at bay.
Yeah,
give that a try. Is it worth going into what the callers say about this?
I was just going to say, I thought this was possibly Alan's phoning with the least potential for fun answers, but then I heard Sandra on line 3. And he says, I made my husband have a cold bath every night to stop him fiddling with himself in bed, to which Alan says, makes sense.
The next caller just says 50, and he's like, 50 what? Bye, Alan. That's it.
Then Lucian calls in, and then Alan says, actually, I'm not speaking to someone called Lucian. That's the end of that one.
There is one more response, though, isn't there? Which is the same temperature as a swimming pool when the disabled kids go in.
To which Alan says, lovely.
Alan then plays Gary Glitter, and I thought, would you still in 2016? What happens to the hits of disgraced musicians?
But again, it's brilliant writing for the link, because he says Julius is a reformed character, unlike Gary Glitter.
But I will still play his music and give him royalties.
Yeah, and actually, again, it's when Alan is pushing up the slider for the music, again, he's got a mental smile on his face when he's doing this as well. I don't know, that might come up on the screen.
So they've played Gary Glitter and they've talked about Jimmy Savile. Disgraced Knight of the Realm. Yeah. They are prepared to give airtime to people that probably don't need any airtime.
Probably.
Well, they are prepared to give airtime to people that actually don't deserve any airtime.
But it's worth it for the gags.
Yeah, we'll edit that bit out.
No, we won't.
So he cuts back to the interview, and he's his today's guest is saying, I've been there, I've done it. And then to which Alan says, you were scum. Which I thought he actually goes along with that. He's quite an amenable chap.
Yeah.
But again, use of the word scum, another classic use of the a word in the Alan lexicon.
It's just the way he says it as well. It's so direct and cussing. But yeah, he's able to rise above it because ultimately he's the better person in this conversation.
Yeah, it is quite harsh.
It's very harsh.
You were scum.
You were scum.
To be fair, Alan does admit, he says, I've had a few scrapes of the law, also had a few dinners with them too. This is extra fun for long-term Alan fans as we remember his various scrapes of the law, traffic cone theft and booking a meeting room under the name The Real IRA.
Yes.
Quick question to the group. Have any of you lot ever been in trouble with the police?
I can't say I have, mate.
No.
I was once moved on, but that was just there were just too many people in an area. That's all it was.
At this point, I'm just glad that Jed's nowhere near a microphone.
Yes, correct.
I need to put aside another hour.
Yeah, producer Jed's at the back of the room, presumably on the phone to his lawyer again.
Yeah, phones are locked. Weird.
Alan then outs his policeman friend for drink driving. This is the day after reading out an alleged paedophile's address as well. So he's really on a roll now.
Yeah, so this is his police friend, DCI Brian Tolsmore.
Tolsmore, yeah.
And also, he assumes that Julius would know him.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, he's a drink driver. 2 weeks ago, they found him asleep in his car on a roundabout.
Also in this scene, Julian says the phrase, blah, 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 comes easy, and Alan corrects him too easily. He can't help but correct his guests with their pronunciation.
Yeah. Anyone can fall foul of the law. It can happen that easy. I know, it can happen that easily. Alan then tells a tale of getting free Kit Kats from a vending machine as a kid and says, and I quote, I wanted those fingers inside me, all five of them. Now, I'm confused for a few reasons. One, that is obviously a shameless bit of innuendo crowbarring into the script.
Also,
did Kit Kats have five fingers? Was that some glory day that I wasn't around for?
No.
I looked this up. I couldn't find any evidence to suggest that there were ever five-figure Kit Kats.
Maybe that's the joke.
I think the writing of this bit kind of like, it does kind of eat itself a bit, because obviously Alan's being filthy using the use of the phrase fingers inside me, chocolate
fist.
Alan thinks that Simon's being filthy using the phrase chocolate fist. Where obviously Simon's clocked onto the fact that Alan's talking about the fingers inside him. So it's just, I can't figure out what's meant to be the gag, what isn't the gag, I don't know, but it's great.
Alan basically starts to bristle at Simon about this, doesn't he? And I did think as I watched this, is this the beginning of more friction, like we saw in series one where they gave Simon the shove for Zoe? It felt like it's building a little bit, animosity.
I feel like in kind of any episode, you get points where they're getting along really well, and within minutes, that will have absolutely deteriorated.
Yeah.
It's not consistent.
Is it at this point we see Alan on the phone to a rather angry Brian, who is clearly in the pub and gambling on a fruit machine whilst furiously dialing Alan?
That is in a bit.
Have I jumped ahead again?
Yeah, you've jumped ahead slightly.
Just lead me. Lead me gently and tell me when I can come back.
Before we get there, Alan's phone has gone AWOL. He thinks he's lost his phone. Has anyone seen my phone? Julius asks, what type is it? And he says, oh, mobile.
Obviously.
So obviously the gag with this scene is, the conceit is that Alan thinks Julius has stolen his phone because he's a gangster. That's the implication. And Alan's even standing up really awkwardly, like uncomfortably close to him.
Yeah.
So ask him if he wants a can of pop. It all gets a bit weird.
But then he is on the phone to his police pal saying,
Shall I take over this bit?
Yep, go.
So it's at this point that we see
we can edit this, right?
Yeah, we'll get it around. So at this point that we see Alan on the phone to his policeman friend Brian, who is clearly in the pub, gambling on a fruit machine and furiously calling Alan, which Alan says, please step away from the fruit machine, I can't hear you.
Yep.
They're going to meet up at the pub quiz. They kind of smooth things over by the end of it.
Well, Alan's going to pick him up, but I think basically be to avoid being driven by a drunk.
Yes,
that's exactly it, yeah. And then the next scene, your guest is saying, I was in and out of prison for 5 years and I didn't want to keep doing that, so I had to change. To which Alan says, I was the same with Kit Kats.
At this point, Simon has been banned from the conversation as well because Alan's annoyed with him making jokes.
Although he can't stop himself contributing, he keeps trying to chip in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it when Alan references European military knives and then Psychic Simon says Swiss Army knives?
that happens. You get a bit of a Julius confusion.
Which we had in the previous episode with Cecil and Cecil. So this is a recurring theme where he can't get people's names right. Let's face it, he's also fallen asleep with Blackbird. These are just kind of basic things that he can't seem to get right.
It's terrible.
It's not a strong day at the office for him, is it?
So they're talking about the fact that Julius is a reform character and he's been doing good for the community. Alan says, I applaud that with both hands.
There's a bit of a recurring theme here of Alan getting swept up in his guest stories. Blackbird, Julius, in an earlier episode of this series, there's a very poignant moment with Dave Clifton. He's become a little bit more prone to sentiment, I think, in Mid-Morning Matters than he was in I Know a Partridge or Know Me, Knowing You.
That's fair.
He's now describing how he talked to 20 offenders if he was giving a talk for free or in return for a small donation to the National Trust.
And did you note when he says all eyes on me that he goes boss-eyed? Brilliant.
I did not notice that.
That's one of your favourite visual gags.
He said, I take my jacket off. Simon says, no jacket required. Nice callback to Phil Collins. Alan doesn't like it. No, different from that. Do we think Simon has a genuine problem getting the tone of radio right? He often does pitch in too highbrow or too lowbrow for where the show is going.
Yeah, but I mean, Alan always gets it wrong as well, so it's not like he's being mentored by a good broadcaster.
That's very true, because Alan then says if he's talking to 20 offenders, he'd say, listen up, bird brains, and listen up good. If you're thinking of going out there to smack up crack or do some robbing, you'll have me to deal with, right?
Shortly after, he finds his phone, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So he apologises to Julius. Yeah. Julius says, what for? He says, because I trumped.
This whole phone thing as well is quite a weird little sort of I don't know, like, the joke is funny, but I just think it's slightly...
Well, I think the thing is, this is a whole half an episode, and basically it revolves around the main gag that basically Alan has just assumed somebody who is basically blackened from the streets has stolen his mobile phone in the studio.
That's the joke.
Yeah, that is the joke.
About 10 minutes.
An extra twist where Julius comes back in and does have Alan's phone, and he basically gets very confused, a bit scared. There's a play fight. Alan shoves Simon out of the way quite forcefully.
Far too hard, yeah.
But then Alan does check afterwards that they're cool.
Cool.
Yep, and gets the special handshake with Simon that he didn't get from Julius.
Which is very, very awkward.
Yeah,
because, with the phone confusion, Alan's like, it can happen that way round.
Yeah.
So there's really overzealous, nervous laughter from Alan. Then you get the playful push as well. And he also says absolutely goodbye when Julius leaves as well. He's really overcompensated.
Just
to
underscore that's goodbye. Yeah.
Any other notes for this particular episode?
I think that's all I've got.
I don't think so.
I can do a bit of MDB knowledge, IMDB knowledge.
or MDB.
Please do.
8.1 out of 10, which I think is high.
It's a drop from yesterday as well, so that's 8.2.
It is a drop, but I also still think that
this is
high.
A great episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's quite... Really?
Really?
I think it's quite weak.
Okay, well, we're in... that's episode 3 of 6. I think that's the weakest episode
so definitely.
Far. Would we all agree on that?
I would agree on that.
So far, yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all in agreement.
It's still good, though.
Well, that brings us to the end of the information about this episode. But before we go for this week's show, we're going to play a game that is in no way affiliated with BBC One Show, Would I Lie to You? Would we lie to you? Who's in charge of this week's quiz?
I'm in charge of this episode's quiz. I'll be honest, listeners, I've been practicing this all day and I keep getting it wrong, so please do bear with me if I make mistakes.
And it did go a bit wrong yesterday.
You are no Bryden, are you?
I mean, not
that it's got anything to do with what I like to you.
You're probably thinking, we don't believe you, Nick, you wouldn't make a mistake, but do you remember with my notes, I was all over the place. So, the way this is going to work is, as per the popular TV show, which in no way we have leaned on or used...
It is not related to the BBC.
Yeah, just keen to stress that. Yeah. But we'll read out 3 pieces of information, which this week are all related to Scotland, because obviously Alan was talking about the Scottish Tourist Board earlier, so they will all be related to Scotland. 2 of them are false, 1 of them are going to be true, so I'll hand over to Adam to start reading them out, and then I'll come to you to guess which one you think is the truth. So, Adam, would you read out the first one, please?
Scotland statement number 1. Scotland is home to the world's tallest hedge.
Statement number 2. Scotland is home to the world's most overweight beagle who lives in Stranraer and is called Barry.
Statement number 3. Cholesterol was invented in Fort William by Dr. Claire McKesterol.
So, I will now do a quick recap and by way of noise, hollering, whooping, applause, let us know which one you think is right. So the first one was the hedge. Do we think it was the hedge?
No
faith in the hedge.
Do we think it was the overweight beagle? Yeah, people
think Barry's popular.
Barry the beagle from Stranraer. Or finally, was cholesterol invented in Scotland by a Dr. Claire McKesterol? So kind of.
She's here tonight.
Come on down. So I feel like you were second, Tom very much in first, and I'm sorry, Adam, you were very much in third.
I'll hand over to you,
Tom, to reveal whether you're indeed true or false.
Is Scotland home to the world's most overweight beagle who lives in Stranraer and is called Barry? I can reveal that is a lie.
What?
Guys.
What?
Okay, should we reveal more or less simultaneously?
Yeah,
let's
do it.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Scotland is home to the world's tallest hedge. That's true. That's
what?
A real fact.
I can't believe it wasn't Dr. Claire McKesterol. Shocking.
I really wanted that to be true.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us, thepartridgepod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @thepartridgepod, facebook.com/thepartridgepod, and on Instagram @monkeytennispod.
Thank you.
Monkey tennis?
Yabba dabba doo. Sorry,
I did Jimmy Savile. Monkey tennis?
This is Midmore Matt. Let's do slap hands. Idiotic broth.
Monkey tennis?
Please though!
Pop. Monkey tennis?
You need to press transfer.
I like it. It's a clean kill.
Monkey tennis?
We will do that, definitely, yeah.
Okay, does Mummy know you do this?
The time is 10:30.
What a Dilbert.
Monkey tennis?
And I know it won't smash, Lynn. Just wrap it in bubble wrap.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.